The dent I want to make in the universe is really to end workplace misery by helping convert and transform the leaders at the very top of an organization, because they have the biggest impact on the culture that is the absolute foundation of their business. I believe in truly being my authentic self, because I can't walk into a corporation and try to help leaders get out of their own way and embrace authenticity if I'm not being fully genuine.
Welcome to the Thought Leader Revolution with Nikki Ballou. Join the revolution. There's never been a better time in history to speak your truth, find your freedom, and make your fortune. Each week, we interview the world's top thought leaders and learn the secrets of how they built a 6 to 7 figure practice. This episode has been brought to you by eCircleAcademy.com, the proven system to add 6 to 7 figures a year to your thought leader practice.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the podcast, The Thought Leader Revolution. I'm your host, Nikki Ballou, and boy, do we have an exciting guest lined up for you today. She's another one of our exciting emerging thought leaders, the one and only Claire Chandler. Welcome to the show, Claire.
Thanks, Nikki. I love the enthusiasm. It's great to be here.
Great to have you here. So, Claire, tell us your backstory. How'd you get to be the great Claire Chandler?
Oh, how much time you got, right? So I'm a self-professed corporate and cancer survivor. So I spent the first 20 years or so of my professional life in corporate as a full-time corporate employee. And then in 2011, I was, you know the drill, I was fully on the corporate hamster wheel, traveling 3 weeks out of every four, going 150 miles an hour, got the call. Got diagnosed with cancer. I had to, full stop on everything in my career, take a month off, have surgery, deal with all of that. And it was in that time off that I had to reckon with the reality that I wasn't really doing what I was passionate about. That while I was enjoying a good career and ascending the corporate ladder and had a wonderful team and enjoyed the people that I worked around, my heart wasn't in it. And so I used that great gift of that time off that cancer gave me to kind of reassess where I was, reevaluate what I wanted to do, and got healthy, went back to work, sort of negotiated a peaceful separation. And that was highly amicable, and then jumped into the entrepreneurial unknown. So the first couple of years, I didn't have a firm plan. I didn't have a brand dialed in. I didn't have a unique selling proposition, any of those things. So I spent the first couple of years really just sort of honing what it was that I wanted to do of all the things that I could do. And it took until about 2013 for me to found my company, Talent Boost. And fast forward to today, I'm an executive leadership advisor, and I focus on helping large organizations continue to expand without losing their best talent.
Well, you answered my next question, which was, what's the big problem you solve for your clients? So you help people expand without losing their best talent. Gosh darn it. How cool are you, Claire Chandler? You kind of are a bit of a mind reader, eh? You got ahead of Nikki Ballou, but this leads to my next question. What's the dent that you're seeking to make in the universe?
Having been on the inside of corporate America, I kind of got inundated with people saying how miserable they were at work. And, there's a reason we have memes around, well, if people really enjoyed it, they wouldn't call it work, right? So this, the dent I want to make in the universe is really to end workplace misery. Ooh. And I find that the best way for me to do that is by helping convert and transform the leaders at the very top of an organization, because they have the biggest impact on not just the level of engagement of their employees, but also on the culture that is the absolute foundation of their business.
Damn. End workplace misery. How cool are you? And you want to convert and transform the top leadership. Girl, you got it going on. I'm loving this in a corporation. Okay, so these big corps, they're your peeps. They're your big clients. They're your ideal client, right?
That's correct. Yeah, they are my bread and butter.
Oh, God, you answered my next. How cool are you? Oh, my God. So currently, Claire Chandler, oh, you awesomeness, you. How are you currently attracting your ideal clients? Tell me.
The way that I attract my ideal clients, ironically enough, is by being completely me. You know, I going from a full-time employee where I had a salary day in and day out to forming my own business and having to build that out of a foundation of nothing other than my name and my personality, I found that the more I leaned into that as my unique selling proposition, right? That when you work with me, I'm the person in the room with you. And I bring all of my experience and my perspective and my knowledge and my methodologies, and all of that is great. But it's really through this lens of I believe in owning my walk, right? I believe in truly being my authentic self, because I can't walk into a corporation and try to help leaders get out of their own way and embrace authenticity if I'm not being fully genuine. So when they work with me, they get 100% of me. They get me and all of my quirky uniqueness, and they get out of their own way because I kind of disarm them a little bit and get them to bring down their walls.
Damn. Like, you answered this series of questions so well. It's almost freaky, freaky deaky. I love it. This is great. So share with me kind of like your when you get in front of clients, I get that they fall in love with who you are because they see, yeah, this lady is representative of the problem that I have, good people like her leaving. So she knows why and she can help me. I can totally get that. But how do you get those people to know who the heck you are?
So you're talking from a business development and from an awareness point of view.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So leader attracting attention point of view.
Yeah. Yeah. It's certainly not. This is not a story of overnight success, right? I didn't leave the safe, comfortable walls of corporate and instantly build a business where it is today. It has been literally a 10-year journey, 10-plus-year journey. And I think part of it is not just continuing to be authentic, but really being okay with not speaking the language of corporate, not talking like, you know, it's so funny because invariably all of my clients get to two realizations. They will ask me pretty soon in our engagement, are you sure you have an HR background? Because you don't talk like somebody from HR, from human resources, right? And the other thing is when I talk with them one-on-one, especially executive leaders, every single one of them at some point during our relationship together says, why does this always feel like a therapy session? And I think that is part of it. You know, I've tried and fallen short on every marketing and business development tactic you can think of as a solopreneur. Yeah. And what I found attracted the right people into my orbit. And when I say right people who click with me, right?
Yeah.
People where we have a chemistry, where we deeply can care about each other and do some amazing work together.
Yes.
And still be friends by the end of it.
Yes.
You know, right. And so for me, what has been most successful is not just being authentic, but showing up, not looking for an answer to their problem in the first conversation, but really just to listen and give them the gift of, I've been where they are. I've been an executive leader. I've been within corporate. I've had conversations with employees just like theirs who are struggling and suffering and don't want to live like that anymore. And so when they show up to a conversation with me and they're bracing themselves for where's the sales pitch and they don't get one, those are the people who kind of pull closer to my orbit, right? I post a lot on social media, specifically on LinkedIn. I have a few books. I'm working on my latest one now. And, you know, and I do podcasts. I have great podcast conversations like this one we're having now where people listen and it takes one thing I say to resonate with them. And then they go, yeah, you're talking to me. You're speaking exactly to my pain. And let me go reach out to Claire and see if I can get on her calendar. That has been for me the most successful way of bringing clients or prospective clients, I should say, closer to my orbit. Just talk to them like I'm real, they're real. And if this resonates, let's talk about it because I'm here for you.
This is really, really good. And I'll tell you this, my business coach, mentor, this man named Mark Von Muse. He was Tony Robbins' director of coaching and training for 5 years. He grew Tony's coaching business from zero to over 30 million and helped the rest of the organization add over 100 million in business. And then he worked with an organization called Clients on Demand until just recently moving off on his own. And he always has said to me, it's a people game. It's not a numbers game. It's a people game. And my father, my late father, God rest his soul, he would tell me when I was growing up, son, life is about people, not about money. He'd even look at me when I was eight. I remember he told me, business is about people, not money. And as a smart aleck 8-year-old, I'd go, oh, dad, come on. Nah, I got you, dad. You know, business is about money. Without money, there's no business, dad. What are you talking about? I was so proud of myself. 8 years old, I got my dad. He'd go, yeah, son, but without people, there's no need for money. Business is about solving problems for people for profit. That's the purpose of business, P to the power of four. Problems, people, profit, purpose. And I'm like, wow, that was deep. It took me a while to really get that. And Mark always shared that with me is don't reek of commission breath when you go into a conversation. That doesn't mean don't ask for the sale, because you should ask for the sale if it's the right thing for the client. And believe me, I have no compunction. I don't care if, I will ask if I think it's the right thing for the client. But it is so beautiful to hear you say this. I mean, you and I were kindred spirits. I kind of felt that from the moment you got on the session. So it's a beautiful thing to hear you share your view on this. Would you share with us one of your biggest client success stories?
So I've been working with one company in particular that has really kind of, I don't even know how to describe it. It's such a labor of love. And I mean that in such a good way. I was having a conversation with their head of HR just the other day. And we've been working together now for about 2 years. And he said, are you still enjoying working with us? Now just think about that. He's the client. He's paying me to come in there and help him, you know, kind of transform his business and all of that. And he's always checking in to make sure that I'm still getting fulfillment from the relationship, which is one of the reasons that I gravitate toward him and that I could just continue to work with this amazing organization. But when I first got in there and started to work with them, we were looking at they were about 6 months post merger. They had gone through a pretty significant combination of two legacy organizations. And those two organizations, even though they had been in the same industry, and we've heard this story before, right? They could not have been more different from a cultural standpoint, from a one was highly bureaucratic, very rigid, had a lot of best practices, but couldn't get out of their own way. The other one was the cowboys of the industry. They had no rules. They had no rhyme or reason. They couldn't replicate the successes that they had. So they also kept replicating their failures, right? And so I was brought in initially to help them restructure their HR organization, because in mashing up these two cultures and bringing some people in from outside, that isn't enough, right? You can't just put people in the same room and set it and forget it and hope that everyone is going to sing kumbaya and figure out how to be true guides to the business. And so when I first stepped in, they had a very high vacancy rate and they had an employee engagement rate around 27% just within human resources. And so in working with them, I did a lot of sort of outside perspective assessment. And I don't mean diagnostically, although I did employ some of that. It was really having one-on-one conversations with every member of that team to understand where they were. I deeply believe in any client engagement, I need to meet people where they are and not just try to sell them on this is the future be at. And they keep like jumping for it. They can't quite get there, right? So you want to meet them where they are. So I had a lot of one-on-one conversations, brought in a lot of my best practices. We did a reorg, we did a redesign and all the things that came with that to help people really feel like they were co-creating a better environment, a better structure, a better way to work together. And by the end of that phase of the project, I continue to work with the organization today, but for that sort of microcosm first project, they went from a 27% employee engagement to 100.
Wow.
And I just loved being part of their journey. I am not sitting here today, Nikki, and telling you, well, it was because of me they went from 27 to 100. It was because of the relationship and because they were open to having conversations in a different way, looking at things from a different angle, and even putting some people into different roles that played better to their strengths, that they got there. You know, I always say those results that my clients get, they get those results.
Yes.
I'm here to help facilitate that, get them out of their own way, and unlock what is already amazing inside of them. But yeah, that to me was one I was super proud of.
Listen, the coach is important, but the players are the one who play and win the game. It ain't the coach.
Absolutely.
The coach is sitting on the sidelines, you know, doing their best to like infuse the player with belief, infuse the player with some tweaks that are in their blind spot that'll help them move. But this sounds super califragilistic brilliant, Claire. I love it. I love it. So, Claire, as an emerging thought leader, a woman with a massive desire to make a huge dent in the universe, what's the biggest challenge you're currently facing in scaling and helping way more people?
Well, the biggest challenge is there's only one of me and there's so many of them, right? I think a lot of solopreneurs or even entrepreneurs of smaller companies will tell you that is the hardest part, is to let go. I think most entrepreneurs can relate to the fact that we're control freaks, right?
No, not us.
I know, right? Yeah, I resemble that remark too. I mean, you know, we don't go out into business for ourselves so that we can go work for somebody else and give up control again. It is partly, maybe solely, because we are control freaks. And so my biggest challenge is I absolutely believe in what I do. I love the opportunities that I get to work with some amazing people and help their organizations go from good to phenomenal. But there is only one of me. And so I am continuing to tackle the challenge of letting go of the things that are in the background that I don't need to be dealing with. Everything from administrative to some of the growth, right? Some of the initial conversations. And then ultimately, I think that's going to open up an even bigger challenge, which is I love the work. I love the delivery of you know, that relationship. And it's not just being, you know, the senior partner on the account, right? The account manager. I love the actual doing of the work, the rolling up of my sleeves, getting into the same room with executives and their teams and unlocking for them what has been standing in their way. So that I think will continue to be my challenge. And it is one that I am tackling head on this year because I have to resolve it because I do believe that the best way for me to take what I find to be a fulfilling business and like just get my heart exploding with the impact of it is to find a way to scale it.
We should talk offline. I've got some thoughts to share with you, but I love what you just
shared.
I think what you're doing is amazing. I think you're amazing. And I think it's super, super important that top level thought leaders like you get to scale. And I understand exactly what you're saying, run into it with tons and tons of people. So what frustrates you the most that you're not yet a household name?
What frustrates me the
famous.
Most?
Let me say it like this.
Yeah.
Professionally famous, because I know you're not necessarily going to be like.
Yeah. You know, no. I appreciate
Rihanna. You understand
question.
What I'm saying, right? Yeah.
I completely do. I think what frustrates me is there are still so many people who are tripping over themselves as leaders and stumbling in the face of competition as organizations and continuing to convince themselves as individual contributors and middle managers, that this is the best that it's going to get. There are so many more organizations that if they just knew what I know, if they just made at least, you know, even a couple of little tweaks and got out of their own way and stepped more into being genuine about who they are and what they want. And yes, that all leads to, if only they knew me, right? But that's really what frustrates me is a lot of people are banging their head against the wall over things that they don't need to be doing that. And they could get out of their own way and their engagement could skyrocket and their people would help them solve problems and see around corners. So yeah, it frustrates me that more people don't know that there are solutions out there. There are people out there. There are thought leaders out there who can pull them out of their own forest.
Girl, you should totally be world famous. You should totally be world. Like at the level of skill, the way you speak. Listen, I'm in the business of interviewing thought leaders. I've had the top thought leaders in the world on my damn show. I've helped people become top thought leaders. I don't say this every day. So I want you to get, this is a unique event for me. I'm very impressed by this interview. I'm really glad you came on. It's a great show. I think everyone's going to love it. You should totally be world famous. And I would love to help you get there because you are awesome. You are super califragilistic, fantastic. Nikki's impressed. I don't say this every day. So
love it.
A year from now, 5 years from now, Claire, what would be your absolute dream for your business, for your fulfillment? So imagine your business is exploding. It's scaled to where it's supposed to scale. It's gone supersonic. What specifically would have you crying tears of joy? I know I lack energy. I know.
I love it. No, I love it. Just keep it going. I love it. I would say my next plateau, because I don't want to say the pinnacle because I'm always striving, right? I'm sure you are too. Yes, I would say the next plateau for me, that next pinnacle is literally having all the right leaders in all the right organizations having me on their speed dial. There is very meaningful work that happens when we get together in the same room, not just one-on-one, but with their teams and on stages and all of that sort of thing. But I could let all of that go. I could, get to a point, and I have to if I'm going to scale my impact, right? I can get to a point where I can let go some of the daily doing, some of that team dynamic, some of that, multiplying engagement and business growth and all those sorts of things that we have achieved together, and just focused on being that leadership therapist, which, tongue in cheek is sort of my tagline on my LinkedIn profile, but it is true. If that's all I got to do day in and day out is literally talk to these amazing leaders and give them that place, because that's what my best clients come to me for. They come to me in the off hours. It's typically on their drive home from a particularly stressful day or high impact day. And they just need a place where they can talk to somebody off script, off brand. They can unload, they can unpack, they can get out of their own way, and they can understand one or two different things that they can do or see in a little bit of a different angle, and then re-energize and re-engage with their organization. If that's all I got to do day in and day out on my next plateau, it would blow my mind.
I love it. Okay. So Claire, how do people find out about you, get a hold of you, buy your books? Tell us about all of that right now.
Yeah. So my existing books are all on Amazon. They're all linked from my website. So clairechandler.net. My company website is talentboost.net. LinkedIn, as I mentioned earlier, is my social media platform of choice. And my latest book that I literally just handed off to the publisher last week is called Growth on Purpose. And your audience, that is not a sales pitch. They can go to growthonpurpose.com. They can get on the waiting list to pre-register for the book. They can take a quick scorecard that is totally free. And learn a little bit more about some of the things that they can do very quickly and very simply to expand their business without losing their best talent.
I love it. We're going to make sure all that's in the show notes. I'd like a copy of one of your books, if you wouldn't mind sending me one and signing it for me.
Absolutely.
I'd be honored, and I'll return the favor. I'll do the same. So listener, Claire Chandler is the real deal. Take advantage of what she's offered you here. And make sure that you go buy some of her past books. I recommend that you go find her on other shows and listen to her. This is how good she is. And that you go and consume everything she has to offer, because this is a smart woman. And when you consume the intellectual property of smart people, you become smarter. You become smarter. When someone's able to explain something, with passion, with purpose, and yet clearly and concisely, as Claire has done, it clarifies your own ability to think about the things that matter to you. This is the definition of top-notch thought leadership. And I just want you to understand, listener, this is not an everyday occurrence. Like, there's a lot of famous people that come on the show that are not nearly as clear as Claire. And you could benefit from doing this for yourself. Claire Chandler, it's been fun having you on the show. It's been a real honor. God bless you.
Thank you. Same here. Same to you.
And that wraps up another exciting episode of the podcast, The Thought Leader Revolution. To find out more about today's amazing guest, the one, the only, the legendary Claire Chandler, go to the show notes at thethoughtleaderrevolution.com and check out the show notes. Or go to wherever you happen to listen to this episode. Maybe you listen on iTunes. Maybe you listen on Audible. Maybe you listen on Spotify. Maybe you listen on Google Play. Wherever it is, go to the show notes. Check it out. Find out more about Claire. Until next time.
This episode has been brought to you by ecircleacademy.com, the proven system to add 6 to 7 figures a year to your thought leader practice.